the AgeTurners.com podcast, a podcast provided to help you be a part of the generation that ends this age. In this installment, Brother Ricky Acosta shows us that in order to have the genuine release of our spirit in the meetings, we first need to exercise the functions of our spirit in our daily living.
The topic that we would like to address today is the difference between the exercise of the Spirit and the release of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I have a lot of feeling and burden over this point because when, as a young Christian, I was helped to see this difference, my experience of Christ, my enjoyment of the Lord was greatly increased. Or I would say more specifically, the scope or the sphere of my enjoyment was enlarged or broadened greatly. Broadened from merely enjoying the Lord in the meetings to also enjoying and experiencing the Lord in my daily life. And I believe that seeing this difference could help your experience be the same. These terms, exercise the Spirit, release the Spirit, are very common among us in the churches in the Lord's recovery. I don't think you can go more than a week or two without hearing these phrases. All the more if you are someone who grew up in the church life, I'm sure that these phrases have become very, very familiar to you. I remember myself as a teenager growing up in the church life. I would be in church meetings, and maybe in the meeting as the sharing is going on, a brother or a sister would speak in a way that was maybe not so living and not so audible. And one of the brothers, one of the elders maybe, would say, "Brother, sister, release your spirit." And the response to this would be that brother or sister would speak louder and sometimes even pump their fist as they spoke. So I believe that unconsciously I developed a kind of concept that to exercise the Spirit means to perform something in the meeting, to speak loudly in the meeting. Well, brothers and sisters, this is necessary. We do need this kind of exercise in the meeting, but this is really more strictly the release of our spirit. The exercise of our spirit is much broader than this and has to do with the exercise of the functions of our spirit. And those are, as we mentioned last time, the conscience, the fellowship, and the intuition. Also, throughout the years, I developed a kind of concept or a correlation between exercising the spirit and certain life practices. I don't know if you also have this kind of thought. That is, if you would ask me, what does it mean to exercise the Spirit? Or how do I exercise the Spirit? Right away, I would say calling on the name of the Lord, or prayer reading, or singing, or praying. And I have come in contact with many young people on different occasions that whenever I ask them what is the exercise of the Spirit, these are the things that they mention right away. Well, no doubt these practices can help us to exercise our spirit. But again, I would say, actually, the exercise of our spirit has to do with the exercise of the functions of our spirit, namely our conscience, our fellowship, and our intuition. Have you never had this kind of experience, whether it's in private or in the church meeting, that you do call on the Lord? You do pray read, you do sing, you go along with everyone. However, in your heart, you know that you're not contacting the Lord, that you're not experiencing and enjoying the Lord. Well, it could be that although you are practicing the proper things, you are calling, you are praying, but actually, genuinely, you are not exercising or have not been exercising your conscience, your fellowship, and your intuition. And if we're not exercising these functions, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what we are doing outwardly. Actually, we're not exercising the Spirit. Therefore, we're not contacting the Lord and we're not having fellowship with the Lord in our spirit. I have encountered quite a number of young people throughout the years that they call on the Lord, they pray read, and they have done so for a number of years. And eventually, they have no feeling of the presence of the Lord. And their response, or eventually their reaction, is to give up on the Christian life, to give up on the church life. Brothers and sisters, I hope that if you have had this kind of experience, you call, you pray read, you go along with everything, yet you don't have the sense of reality. I hope that you would never give up. I hope that you would stop and consider, when was the last time you confessed your sins? When was the last time you obeyed the feeling of your conscience? When was the last time that you stopped and paid attention to the sense of life in the intuition of your spirit? Brothers and sisters, we need to exercise our spirit by following, paying attention to the feelings in our spirit. I hope you remember from last time the definitions of these three functions. We read a little bit from Brother Lee's book, The Economy of God, in chapter 6. I'd like to refresh your memory over some of these definitions. It is easy to understand the conscience. We are all familiar with this. To perceive right from wrong is one function of the conscience. To condemn or to justify is another one of its functions. See, brothers and sisters, our conscience is the leading function, the leading part of our spirit. If we want to genuinely exercise our spirit, we must pay attention to our conscience. And actually, this is very practical because this is not limited to the meetings. It's possible that at school, you might be with some friends and the conversation turns in a certain way. And you have the feeling, I shouldn't be talking about these things. I shouldn't partake of a conversation like this. I shouldn't listen to these kind of jokes. Well, at that moment, our conscience is rising up. What will we do? If we go along with this feeling, if we pay attention to this feeling, whether to change the conversation or even maybe to walk away from such a conversation, then we are really exercising our spirit. Sometimes when you're with friends, you have the temptation to do certain things. Well, just at that time, there should be some feeling in our spirit, in our conscience. If we go along with that feeling, not to give in to the temptation, we are exercising our spirit. Maybe at home, maybe you're studying, or on your computer, in your room, and your mom or your dad calls you, and you would rather not be bothered, and you answer in a certain way with a certain kind of attitude. It should be that there is some feeling in our conscience, in our spirit. If we would go along with those feelings, with the sense that is in our spirit, coming from our spirit, at that moment, at home, you would be exercising your spirit, maybe much more than during any kind of testimony or prophesying that you ever did in the church meeting. You know, in the church meetings, it's possible just to go along and even sometimes to perform something. But when we're at home, when we're at school, and we have these senses, these feelings in our spirit, and we just pay attention to them, we just cooperate, we just go along. Brothers and sisters, this is the genuine exercise of your spirit. I tell you, when you have such an experience, then you go to the church meeting and speak something, the spirit will flow out. You will really have the release of your spirit. The same is true with the intuition. In The Economy of God, Brother Lee writes, the intuition means to have a direct sense or knowledge. There is such a direct sense in our spirit, regardless of reason, circumstances, or background. It is a sense without reason, a sense that is not, quote unquote, reasonable. It is a direct sense of God and a direct knowledge from God. This function is what we call the intuition of the Spirit. And the matter of the intuition is not in the realm of right or wrong. It's not in the realm of sin or righteousness. It's just a direct sense from God. Have you ever experienced this? You're sitting in a church meeting and you just have a sense to pray out. You just have a sense to say something, maybe to speak something. But right away, reasoning comes. Maybe that reasoning is, oh, I didn't have such a good week. Or I'm sitting too far in the back. Or someone said what I was going to say. And that reasoning, brothers and sisters, it dampens the feeling in our spirit. Our spirit's rising up. The intuition in our spirit is giving us some feeling. If we would put aside the reasoning and just go along with this sense, with this feeling, we would really be exercising our spirit. And I tell you that you would have the genuine release of your spirit. Maybe you're with some friends and out of nowhere, someone mentions something about God or asks a question, and you have the feeling you want to say something. You can share something from what you receive from the church meetings, from the Word, from the Summer School of Truth. Even you have a burden for this person in the matter of the gospel. But it's possible right away reasonings come. Oh, it's not the right setting. Oh, what will my other friends say? Oh, someone may remember what I did this last week. Well, again, brothers and sisters, if we get out of the realm of reason and just pay attention to those inner feelings and let the Spirit flow, cooperate with the sense in our spirit, we would have at school, maybe in the cafeteria, maybe when you're out with your friends somewhere, and in that place at that time, you would be exercising your spirit. I tell you, again, once you come to the church meeting after an experience like that, you could have the real release of your spirit because you enjoyed the Lord, you experienced the Lord. I hope you can see, brothers and sisters, that the matter of the exercise of our spirit can be something so, so practical and something that is for any time in our daily living, at home, at school, when we're with our friends, when we're in the church meeting, all the time, anywhere we can, we should be exercising our spirit. And I would say that especially if we pay attention to the feelings in our conscience, we will have the flow of life in our spirit. We will be ushered into the fellowship with the Lord. And I believe that you would be able to testify that your experience of the Lord, your enjoyment of the Lord, has been broadened in scope. I would like to leave you with two verses. One is Acts 24:16, which reads, "Because of this, I also exercise myself to always have a conscience without offense toward God and men." This verse talks about exercise, but it doesn't mention exercising the spirit. It mentions exercising the conscience, which, as we know, it is exercising our spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need to have this kind of an aspiration. I want to exercise my conscience to be void of offense before God and men. And the second verse is one that's familiar probably to you, and that is 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Brothers and sisters, take heed to your spirit by taking heed to your conscience. Confess confess as soon as you have the feeling in your conscience, and you will be ushered into the restoration of fellowship with the Lord. Enjoy the cleansing of the blood, and then enjoy the presence of the Lord. I hope that this brief fellowship helps you to some degree in the matter of the exercise of the Spirit. And I hope that you would apply these words in your daily living. Lord Jesus, we love you. Make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For AgeTurners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.